We're beginning a new series today that I've entitled The Hunt, and I asked the guys if they'd put a little something together for us this morning just to put some humor in the air, and as always, they did a great job. The other day, I found out that somewhere between 16 and 17 million people will purchase license to be able to go in pursuit of wild game across our nation. 16 to 17 million people will purchase license to do that. You may or may not know this, that 10% of that population across our whole United States is in two states alone, Pennsylvania and New York. So that tells me that there's a lot of people between those two states that get engaged in this activity we call hunting. Now, I realize this morning, I want to say right up front that there are many of you that are here that obviously you do not understand what all the fuss is about when it comes to this subject. You can't comprehend or understand why anybody would get up before the sun does, go out into the coldness of the night, sit in the different elements, the weather elements that come our way, peering through trees, endeavoring to find what it is you're looking for, and most of the time coming home with nothing. In fact, when I hear myself say that, I say, why in the world do I do this? But I want to assure you that what I and some others are going to share with you over these next few weeks will be utterly relevant to every one of us in here. This is not a, you know, it's not an educational seminar on how to be a better hunter. We're talking about something much bigger than that. Hunting for many people is more than just a hobby, it's a passion. Hobby can be defined as that which some people do in their leisure time, an activity that they might get engaged in or pursue. Passion, on the other hand, means a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement about someone or something. You see, probably what you don't understand, for those who don't get it, is that passion, it's passion that motivates somebody to get up before the sun does. It's passion that motivates somebody to endure whatever hardships you might have to in order to successfully obtain the goal that you're after. And my observation is over the years that people can become passionate about many things. I know people who are passionate about automobiles. They're motorheads. They're car nuts. I know people, some of you, I met some of you in here, who are passionate about riding motorcycles. I know others that are passionate about cooking or reading or shopping or social media or paying attention to one's health. You're passionate about it. You're excited about it. You get enthusiastic about pursuing those goals. In fact, the list of things people can become passionate about is endless. One of the age-old questions about passions is, are people born with them, or is it something that gets cultivated in our lives? And I like to answer that question by saying yes. It's to me, it's a both and, not an either or. There are some passions that I believe I was born with. Things that were just in the sauce, if you will, right from birth. In fact, I don't remember ever a time I wasn't passionate about hunting. I'm talking about a little boy. In fact, I'll tell you this quick story. I had a friend that lived in the neighboring town. And his dad and some other men, they were obviously much older, they used to go on hunting trips up to Canada every year. And well before I was able to be of the age to hunt, I can remember asking my friend, his name was Kenny, I can remember asking Kenny, hey, when is your dad and those other guys going to get home? Because I couldn't wait to be at his house when these guys drove in to see if they got anything or not. I mean, that's when I'm just a young little boy, not even able to pursue anything myself. I was just like intrigued by, I was curious by what these guys were doing. Now, being born and raised in the rural places of Pennsylvania, it wasn't like you were born in the inner city or something. It was incredibly conducive to my passion. It fit, right? But I knew plenty of other kids that I was raised with that did not hunt. They weren't interested in hunting. So it wasn't just that rural thing. There was something inside. There was something I was, I believe, born with that caused for a passion. My dad hunted. But I would call my dad's interest in hunting more of a hobby than it was a passion. You know, he'd like to go with the other guys and do those things, but it wasn't like he lived it every day. I was over 40 years old when one day my wife and I were going on our way to the Pike Fair. And as we're driving down Sullivan Road in East Arcade, I noticed a dead squirrel in the middle of the road. And I pulled our car over, and I got out, and my wife said, "What in the world are you doing?" And I picked the dead squirrel up off of the road, and I put it in the trunk of our car. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I've always had this interest in trying to do taxidermy, and I'd like to try it on that squirrel." And so, you know, months passed, a few weeks passed, and ended up getting this thing. But my point is that while I always had kind of an interest in that, I never considered myself having a passion for that because I never took the time to pursue it. But at the age of 40 or thereabouts, I said, I'm going to try that and see if I like it. And I tried it, and I was absolutely horrible at it. I mean, the first couple of things that came out somewhat resembled what I was going for, but I remember I asked this gentleman to get me a pheasant. I wanted to try a pheasant. So he went to those preserves often, and he came home with this. He brought me this pheasant. I said, I want to try, you know, preserving that pheasant, mounting that pheasant. And I got the instructions, the paper, a little kit and everything, and I got done with it. And do you remember those skiers that at the Olympics, they come off of the thing and they have this position like this? That's what it looked like when I was done with it. I set it on the table and I said, that doesn't look quite right, you know? I ended up throwing it out because it just didn't work. But somehow, on the one hand, it's like we're born with certain things that we're inclined to, that we seemingly have this thing inside of us that wants to pursue it. And on the other hand, there are things that I think we discover in life that we try and that somehow cultivates another passion or an interest in our life. I'm calling this series The Hunt, because I want to talk to you over the next number of weeks about our personal passion and pursuit of God. I'm assuming this morning, I'm making a couple of assumptions. The first assumption I'm making is that all of you here today have some level of passion for God, or else you wouldn't be here. I don't know, maybe somebody was dragged here today against their will, but I'm assuming most of you got up and did what you needed to do in order to be able to get here. And so that indicates to me there is some level of passion that you have in your heart towards God. But I also am coming at this with the assumption that all of us could be more passionate in our relationship with God. Like, there's no tens here this morning. There's nobody here that is like utterly, on fire, totally obsessed and passionate about going after God. You may say you are, but your life indicates something other than that. And so I'd like to begin to talk to you about this idea of the hunt. If you go to the dictionary, you'll find out that there are a variety of definitions for hunt. The first one is to chase or search after for the purpose of catching and killing. And when I thought about that, I said, no, that's not what I'm, you know, that's not the definition that I'm looking for. But I got to thinking about it. There are people who have gone after God in this way. Literally. Do you remember, in fact, when Jesus first arrived on planet Earth, there was a guy who was literally hunting him. His name was Herod. In fact, it doesn't take, you don't have to read very far into the Bible. In fact, the beginning of Christ's public ministry, when he came out as an adult now, and he begins to do what God the Father sent him to do. Here is one of the first things we read. It says, then the Pharisees, this is in Mark 3. This is the beginning of the Gospels. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. How would you like that? Somebody is looking, literally looking to take you out. And then, of course, there's multiple other places in John 11. It says, so from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Matthew 26, when you get to the very end of the Gospels, it says they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and to kill him. So there were literally, in this first definition, this idea of catching and pursuing with the idea of catching or killing, there were people who were literally trying to hunt Jesus in that way. In fact, in a very spiritual sense, I believe there are still people today looking to accomplish that goal. They are looking to take the idea of Christ and Christianity out of the mix, to extinguish it, to take it out. But there are other definitions for this idea of hunt, and it's this next one that I'd like us to focus on over the next number of weeks. In the dictionary, it says to search for something or someone very carefully and thoroughly. Some of you have done this definition of hunt before for your car keys. Right? Anybody ever lost their car keys before or lost something like your car keys? You know, with my parents living with us now, it's come to my attention that they from time to time misplace things. Just the other day, they couldn't find their cell phone. They were looking for their cell phone, and so they asked me to look for it in a particular area, so forth and so on, only to discover it's in my dad's pocket. There it is. It's in the pocket. But we all know, right? We all know what it's like to not be able to find something we need. And so we go on a what? We go on a hunt. You go on a search. You look in pursuit of trying to find whatever it is that you seemingly can't put your hands on. It is that idea that I want you to endeavor to grab hold of as we walk through this idea of searching for God. You know, this notion or this definition of hunt is something that gets talked about a lot throughout the Bible. In fact, in the very beginning of it, there is this indication of it starting to take place. Now, the creation has already taken place. By the time we get to Genesis 4, the fall has already taken place. And what happens here in the beginning part of Genesis 4 is there is a description for us about how the lineage of mankind starts to go forward. You know, it's Adam and Eve had children, and then, you know, some stuff happened between the two brothers there. And then it starts to describe how the population began to go forth on planet Earth. And then at the very end of that, in verse 26, it says, listen, it says, at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, when you read that on the surface, you think, well, people just began to cry out to God. But what you, if you go back and you read that closely, what you'll find is that there was a long period of time where nobody was going after God. And then we read this verse, that something shifted, something changed where people began to not just call out, but they began to seek out God. And that's the word, that word seek, is the word most often used in the Bible to describe this notion or this idea of hunting for God, this idea of searching for God or being in pursuit of God. And so I want to list for you to begin with this morning a variety. We're going to do a lot of Bible this morning. I want to take you through a number of passages in Scripture where we find this idea presented to us, and then I want to draw just a couple conclusions towards the end. So as God begins to work with people, here we find in Deuteronomy a verse where God is telling people now, if you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. And if you look with him with all your heart and with all your soul. So here is this notion where God is saying to mankind, to Israel at this point, that if you seek me, you will find me. This isn't a hide-and-go-seek moment where I'm going to play games with you and keep myself not being able to be found by you. If you seek me, and when this talks about with all your heart, with all your soul, what it's really saying there is passion. If you go at this thing with some passion in your life, you will find me. If you don't go at it passionately, well, you may not find what you're looking for, but if you do it with all of your heart, with all of your soul, then you will find me. You will find me. So early on in Deuteronomy, we get this. And so all there's numerous admonitions, numerous exhortations to both Israel and others throughout this God's sacred history with them, that if they look to him, they go after him, they will find him. And one of the central figures in that time period with God was a man by the name of David, King David. And as you know, or you may not know, he wrote many of the Psalms in the Old Testament. And I just want to kind of walk you through from the beginning of some of the Psalms to the end. And in Psalm 14:2, it says, the Lord looked down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. So what we get here is a picture of God or the Lord looking down from wherever it is he looks down from, and as he's looking down on planet Earth, he's looking to see if there are any people who are looking to passionately find him. You know, they're going about this process of seeking him out in order to find him. So David writes that. Then he writes in 42:1-2, maybe you've heard this verse before, as the deer pants. That word in the Greek for pants means longs for, searches for, goes after, pursues. Sounds a lot like hunt to me. As a deer pants for streams of water, David says, so my soul, O God, pants for you. It longs for you. It searches for you. It looks for you like a deer is in search of water to quench its thirst. So David writes that in Psalm 42. If you go a little bit further, he says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in this dry and weary land where there is no water. When I read that verse this week, I was thinking to myself, that's exactly the conditions we have on the ground here right now. It's dry out there. It's weary. If you pay attention to all the stuff going on out there, it'll cause you to dry up and become increasingly weary about what's going on. And it's in that climate, it's in that place where our souls should be saying to ourselves, go after God. Seek after the Lord. Pursue Him. Find Him. Look for Him. And yet somehow, some way, that maybe isn't happening just the way it could happen. In Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it says, this is what it says, God speaking now, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Throughout the Old Testament, whether you're looking in its sacred history in the beginning books, or whether you're looking through the Psalms or the Proverbs, this notion of hunting after God and seeking after God is just replete through all of it. And then when you get towards the end of the Old Testament, you have the prophetical books, the prophets' writings. And in Jeremiah 29:11, many of you know this part of the verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Everybody, you've heard that verse, right? But a lot of times that's where people stop. We hear that promise. We hear that hope. And that's where people stop. But actually it goes on to say this. Then you will call upon me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, a lot of times I think people want the plans. They want the hope. They want the future, the good future that God has. But that seeking part, well, we're a little short of supply of that. It's not an either or. It's a both and kind of situation. So when you turn the pages in this wonderful book and you find your way through it and you start in the beginning and you see that men began to go after God, to call upon God, and then you find this notion throughout the whole Old Testament where God is calling us to seek Him, where other people are longing to seek God, and then you turn the page over into the New Testament and we're greeted with these words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remember that deer panting and thirsting and longing? The same idea is presented to us here. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus goes on to say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He said these famous words, seek and ye shall find. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. About 20 to 25 years ago, a movement, they've actually put a name to it now, a movement started that has been dubbed the Seeker Movement. Anybody ever heard of it before? Okay. At that point in time, 20 to 25 years ago, this title or this label, Seeker, got placed upon people who expressed some level of interest in God or the things of God. And so what was birthed out of this movement is that churches became what's called seeker-sensitive churches. Here's what that means. They were churches, they are churches to this day, they are churches that are utterly dedicated to being friendly or open to seekers. Seekers, again, being anybody who's not in the body of Christ, but on the fringes of the body of Christ, that by this definition, they're expressing some level of interest in God or the things of God. Am I confused you? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the problem with that is, listen now, I have no problem with us being utterly interested in people looking for God, okay? The problem that as I see it is that when you put the label seeker on them, what is it we become? And to compound that problem, we use phrases like this. We say, so-and-so has found the Lord. Right? We know what that means. Right? So-and-so found Jesus. But what it implies, both the first scenario I gave to you, and now this idea, What it implies is that once we've found the Lord, we can stop seeking. What I'm suggesting to you us this morning is we've just started to find. We can't stop seeking once we've found the Lord. Let me illustrate what I'm talking to you about. If in this, let me take it back to this natural idea of hunting for just a minute. If I'm passionate about hunting or pursuing a wild game, and I go out there and I'm able to accomplish what I've set out to do, right? Now, using the scenario I've just presented to you, if I've caught what it is I'm looking for, then that means that I can stop hunting. Right? But for those of us who do it, we've just got started. Right? It's just like, if anything, that has ignited even more interest and more passion to keep pursuing this passion. Let me give you, I know you're not catching that one, so let me give you another one. About 35 years ago, there was this little beauty that caught my eye. Her name was Jody. And I went all out trying to catch her eye. I went on the hunt. Are you with me? And listen, we've all been there and done this. We do crazy things. Right? We talk on the phone for hours. And men don't talk. Right? 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 That's right. We do crazy things.
We listen on the phone.
And we listen. Just the air. It's just the air. Air and static. That's all it is on the phone. So I'm doing stuff, right? To try, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to win her, right? It goes so far that I actually ask her to marry me. She accepts that invitation. We won't go there. She accepts that invitation. We get married. And some would say the hunt is over. I would suggest to you the hunt has just begun. Because now we're taking a lifetime to get to know each other and to understand each other. And listen, guys and gals, I'll say, I don't know, sometimes interpolating this, I'm not sure what all that means. But we should never stop pursuing our spouse. You never stop. A card is still a good idea, right? A letter is still a good idea. Flowers are still a good idea because I'm in pursuit of captivating her attention, of looking to win her over. Boy, I don't know, this is a rough audience. So. My point is simply this. Here's my point. My point is, when we arrive at the place where there's no longer any passion, we're in trouble. When we arrive at the place in our spiritual pursuit of God, and there's nothing anymore fueling the fire in our hearts to go after Him, we're in trouble. We must earnestly seek the Lord. I don't care whether you've known Him for 50 years. There still needs to be a hunger and a passion in our hearts that is driving us to find Him, to look for Him, to have our souls satisfied, to find the place where He is. Something must be motivating us and driving us, or else, listen, here's the or else. The or else is, I'm either going forwards or I'm going backwards. You cannot stay in this place of neutral and thrive spiritually. That's how passion works. Some of you may have heard of the, the story about the couple that the wife was getting increasingly concerned about, you know, where her husband was at in the relationship. And as they were having a discussion about all that, she says to him, "Will you never tell me you love me anymore?" And he said, "Listen, I told you I loved you the day we got married. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know." We should be, when it comes to our pursuit of God, you and I should be hunting machines. We should be hunting machines. I was reading a book here a few weeks ago, and it was a book about science and God. And I've been trying to work my way through it. I don't understand half of what they're talking about in the book, but I'm trying to go back and I'm trying to read. But one of the things stood out to me in that book is that one of the phrases that the guy said in there is that Christians should be the most curious creatures on planet Earth. We should be the ones who are looking to find and discover all that there is to know and understand about God. We shouldn't be content just to know the little bit that we do. We should be these people who are obsessed. We're passionate about knowing who He is. It seems like too many people, from my observation, too many people start at the finish line. Here's what I mean by that. In NASCAR, the same line that's used for the starting line is the same line that's used for the finish line, right? Right? It's the one that they tell them, they wave the green flag and they say, it's the starting line. But it's also that same line that ends up becoming the checker line or the finish line at the end. And it feels to me like what happens is like, you know, there's people that takes up some kind of interest in who God is, and they start to get a little interested in that, and it's like, okay, and then the starting line, and it's like they hit the starting line, it's like, okay, I found Him, I'm finished. And it's like, what happened to the whole race? What happened to the whole pursuit of God in the process? Listen, when you found Jesus, you just started hunting. You just started that process. It's not over. You may have found what it is you're looking for, but the depths of who He is, like Scott said in worship this morning, are unfathomable. They are, you will not be able to outfind God. I want to close by asking you something this morning. In counseling, a lot of times I use this, what I call the scale of well-being. And I want you to ask yourself this morning, I'm asking myself this morning, if I were to give you a scale, 0 to 10, of where your passion level is at for hunting God. And again, I'm using the phrase, I keep saying that, and I'm thinking, you know, I hope there's nobody in here who wants to, you know, extinguish Christianity. But if you are using that second definition, search for, go after, with the idea of carefully and thoughtfully pursuing Him. If you were to measure or somehow qualify where you're at 0 to 10 on your passionate meter, you know, where would you find? What number would you give yourself this morning? And before you answer that too quickly, because you might say, well, I have a hunger, I have a passion for God. How does that get expressed? How does that get expressed? You know, I was going to wait and say this in a couple weeks, but I really feel to say it this morning. I think there's a lot of people who, whether they realize it or not, are hunting for God vicariously. Here's what I mean by that. You know, there's games out there. There's actual hunting games that you can buy, right? Right? On these little gizmos that people use, you know, and they have these things, and there they are. You get a gun or a bow and arrow or whatever, and as you're looking at the screen, different animals come on the screen. Right? And you get to somehow have that interaction with them on the screen. I tried playing it with our kids years ago, and I'm sure they've come a long way since then. But there it is. You are, well, I call that hunting vicariously. You're not really hunting. You're hunting you're hunting. I don't know what you're hunting. Little blips on a screen. You're really not doing the thing. And sometimes I think people hunt, they try hunting vicariously. And here's what I mean by that. They hang out with other people who hunt, and they listen to their stories about hunting, and they think by doing that, they themselves are actually hunting. Well, I'm here to tell you, until you go out there and do it yourself, you're really not hunting. You got to do it yourself. You can't hunt for God through me. I can't hunt for God through you. You and I have to both take the responsibility to passionately go after God ourselves, right? So on that meter of 0 to 10, what's your passion? Where are you at on that meter? And as you answer that, I want you to think about how it is you're measuring that. That's what we're going to be talking about over the weeks that we're together. Is how is it that we can truly say that I'm hungry for God or I'm passionate for God? How are we quantifying that? How are we measuring that? What's the sign that we are? How do we know? What discoveries, what adventures have we been on with Him to say that, yes, I am in passionate pursuit of God? So I don't know if you've assigned yourself a number yet, but somewhere on that scale, I'm gonna say to us this morning, regardless of where we put ourselves on that scale, there's room for growth. There's room for passion to make its way up the scale. And that's what I want to encourage you about over these next number of weeks. I want to encourage you to see your desire to hunt for God increase, your desire for passion moving upwards instead of backwards in your life. This morning, I was simply trying to convince you that if you're here and you've embraced Christ, you've invited Christ into your life, then that's not the end of it. It's the beginning of it. It's the process now of hunting for God or going after God in a meaningful way. There's this verse I want to end with this morning that really captures what I'm trying to convey to you this morning. In Psalm 105:4, it says, "Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always." One translation says this way, "Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him." Continually seek Him. And that's what I want to convey to you, not only this morning, but as we move forward, that, you know, once you're convinced that God is real, once you're convinced that He exists, once you're convinced that and have embraced what Christ has done on your behalf, God has opened your eyes to that fact, and now He's given you eyes to be able to see all who He is. Amen? Amen. Seeking the Lord continuously. I'd like to pray for us this morning. And if you're here this morning and you'll be honest with me, honest with God, And you can say, yes, my passion quotient could definitely be more than what it is. Because you know yourself better than I do. I don't know what you do in your day-to-day life. I don't know how it is that you go after God. But I'm just asking you to consider the fact that it could be more than what it is. I'd like to pray for us this morning. I'd like to see, the thermometer, if you will, or the barometer of our seeking quotient go higher and stronger for God, both today and in the days that we're moving forward here. Would you join me in prayer? Would you stand to your feet this morning as we cry out to the Lord? I don't know if you would be so forward as to just hold out your arms here this morning before God and as a sign that you're willing to receive from Him. You know, I want to go, just close your eyes and open your hearts and close your eyes for just a minute. But, you know, let's just be honest with one another. You know, you either have a genuine desire for God or you don't. I mean, come on. You know, we don't have to kid anybody this morning. But here's the really cool thing. is that God can give us, can infect us, can inject us with a genuine desire to know Him. He can infuse us with that. In fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll tell you this much about next week. The only reason you're here desiring God is because He put that in your heart. He put it in your heart. So if He put it in there to begin with, I believe He has the ability by His Spirit to put a greater hunger in us, to put a greater passion, to put a greater desire to hunt and search for Him. He's just looking for people who are interested. He's just looking for people who have a sense that that's what they want in life. So, Father, as we lift our hearts to You this morning, here we are at all different places in life. This morning, if you're here and you have never found, as we describe, Christ, if you've never found Him, if you've never embraced Him and received Him and what He's done for you, for your life, I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to find God in that way today. But that's not the end of this journey. It's you've got equipped now. You've gotten the goods that you need to go after Him with all of your heart. If you're here this morning and you're quotient, you say, Pastor, you didn't mention any negative quotient, but if you did, I might be at that place. I want you to know, somebody said prophetically here this morning that God wants to have a fresh start with us. I want you to know that even at this very moment, your quotient level can get back on the positive side. He can take you from feeling dead in the water to bringing life again to your bones. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, if I was honest, I'm a 4 or 5. I do go after Him, but you know, it's my first love has grown a little bit cold and I need it to increase. Regardless of where anybody's at this morning, what I'm asking the Father above right now to do is to open up His window, His passion window from heaven. Open that window up, Lord, and by a work of Your Spirit, would You breathe on our hearts right now? Blow on our hearts. Blow on our hearts by Your Spirit, Lord, and cause those areas of our heart and life to begin to come alive again to the wooings of Your Spirit, Lord. To get us off the couch or out of the bed in that morning like a hunter, Lord, and to get our clothes on, to get our outfit on, Lord, and to go out into the darkness, Lord. Would You blow on those things to get us out of bed again, Lord? Blow on those coals, Lord. Blow on our heart, Lord, this morning. And fan into flame, God, a desire to run after You, to chase after You, like we read, like we sung about here this morning, Lord. To run after You, to go after You. Lord, some of us here, we've got fire in our bones to grab a gun or a bow or a camera or to go out into the outdoors. Lord, and some would say, you know, if you were a bit more passionate about other things, I might understand who You are. Lord, make us interested in You. Make us interested in You. Make us hungry for You, God. Put it in us, Lord. Put it in us. We honestly and openly say there are times when our interest level is dormant, Lord. I'm asking, would You put us fresh hunger, fresh thirst, Lord, fresh desire to love You, to know You, to go after You, to chase after You. Breathe on us, Spirit of God. Blow on us, I pray. Teach us, Lord. Teach us what it means to go seek after you. Teach us what it means, Lord, to long like that deer longs for the streams in the dry and thirsty land. Fill us with a thirst for you, God. We've looked, we've searched. We want to find you, Lord. You promised, if we seek, we find. You promised, if we earnestly, with all of our hearts and with all of our soul, look for you, we will find you. We trust you. We trust your promise. Open our eyes, Lord. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear you. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come invade our lives afresh and anew. Mess us up, Lord. Create longings where they've been dormant, Lord. Create thirst. Create hunger. Draw us to yourself. In this dry and thirsty land, Lord, draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.